Good morning, and we've been asked to read from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 31. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 31. We see three different themes that sort of run together through this set of verses, and perhaps as we read that, you could keep that in mind. Look at the relationship between loving God, keeping His commandments, and experiencing the presence and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Beginning at verse 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him," not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which hath sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." Let's come before the Lord in prayer.
We greet each of you in the name of Jesus. You might want to keep your Bibles open to John 14. We're not going to be doing this expository, but there are some verses in here we are going to look at. I appreciate the song we sang as we came up on the pulpit. It really went well with our message. Our message is titled Awareness of God's Presence. Were you ever in a room with someone and you felt like that person wasn't even aware that you were there? Maybe they didn't respond when you talked, or maybe they seemed preoccupied with something else. Is it possible God feels like that about us? Is it possible we have lost our awareness of God's presence inside us? In Scripture, we read of those who were aware that Christ was near and could help, and they acted to acknowledge him. For example, like the blind man, he called out. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many were aware that Jesus was someone special and that he was near them, and they acted. Did you ever think of the many that were unaware of Jesus being near them? Unaware that it was God in their presence. They passed by him on the roads. He was alongside them. They might have brushed against him. Maybe they were even a little annoyed at the huge crowd that was around him, and they had to make a little detour. When the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Peter said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touches me? I wondered how many were in that crowd who were sick and discouraged, but they were not even aware that it was Jesus, that was someone special. And to those that acknowledged him, Jesus came alongside them. He was their helper, like he helped his mother provide wine for the wedding. He was their advocate, like he helped the woman who was accused of adultery. He was their teacher, like he taught them the Sermon on the Mount. He was their encourager, like he encouraged Peter later after he rose again. He was their counselor, like the advice he gave Martha. At the tomb, Mary at first was unaware it was Jesus. On the road to Emmaus, the two were at first unaware that Jesus was there. What a difference it made when Mary and the two realized and became aware that Jesus was there. And what a difference it made to those who did not acknowledge Jesus. No healing, no counsel, no advocate, no helper, no comforter. But to those who acknowledged him and were aware of him, they had comfort and healing and counsel and help. Today I want to ask us, are we aware of the presence of Christ? Or are we more like the crowd who did not recognize him? Are we more like those in the crowd who were annoyed at Christ's presence? Christianity that has a daily low view of Christ's presence is a dead Christianity. It has little or no life. But Christianity that is every hour aware of the divine presence in their life is full of joy and growth, aware or unaware. In this passage, we want to look at a couple Greek words to learn more about the awareness of God's presence. The first word is parakletos. And if you're taking notes, if you're using, this is kind of like an outline, I'll spell it for you. It's parakletos. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The English comforter is the Greek parakletos. The disciples had been worried about Jesus leaving. They had gotten used to him being around. They enjoyed his teaching, his comfort, his advice, his help. Now, recently, he'd been talking about leaving them. He told them in John 13, verse 13, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me. As I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you. And so they were concerned about the prospect of being without the presence of Christ in their life. And Jesus, in chapter 14, especially in verses 20 to 25, makes them aware that even after he leaves them, he will send another comforter to be their helper. And though he was speaking to the disciples, this promise of the presence of God is true for every believer. Jesus makes it clear this comforter, the parakletos, was the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. If you look at verse 26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Parakletos, God, the Holy Spirit, will enter your body. He will possess your body. God will be in you and through you. I'm leaving you, but God is coming to dwell with you, and he uses the word forever. Parakletos, it's only used five times in Scripture. And most translations say, he will give you another helper. The KJV uses comforter. Most translations use helper. This word carries the idea of one who stands alongside. Jesus had been with them for three years. He says, I'm leaving, but I'm going to be giving you another helper. Parakletos speaks of one who helps by strengthening you with encouragement, with comfort, with advice, with arguments of reason and clarity. Jesus said, I want you to beware. I'm leaving, but there will be another coming alongside you and in you who will be your helper and counselor and advocate and comforter. Many scriptures reveal how God in us brings comfort and counsel and helping. Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. John 16, verse 13, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus made them aware that he was leaving, but the Parakletos was coming to be alongside them. Christians, are you daily aware of Parakletos? Because this promise has been made to you also. I want to ask, and this is a question I had to ask myself. Is this doctrine, is it theology in my head, or is it reality in my heart? The Parakletos is standing beside you and in you. He wants to comfort and encourage and counsel and guide you. Have you sensed his presence? Or are you like the crowd? Have you brushed off the Holy Spirit? Have you not allowed him to reach into your heart? Have you ignored his pleadings to you? Have we forgotten the supernatural person who exists inside us? I remember one Sunday morning we were driving home from church, and we got to Dave and Mary's house. We were driving on Orchard Road, and we saw one of the children from Pleasant Hill walking along that road. And we stopped and talked to him, and it turned out his parents had forgot him. And so as they drove home, they didn't try it, and it's easy to do. As they drove home, they were unaware he wasn't with them. He was forgotten. How does the Parakletos feel when you forget him? Because you are unaware he is in you. He is a person. Scripture, he has feelings. Scripture says we can grieve the Holy Ghost. This last week, how many days have you forgotten that he was inside you, desiring to be your helper and counselor and advisor and encourager? When we came out of the baptismal waters, we had this excitement and desire, and we felt the presence of the Holy Ghost in us. But did we let him behind at the pond? Do we possess now an hourly remembrance and awareness of the Holy Spirit? The next Greek word is allos. It's spelled A-L-L-O-S, allos. This word is also in verse 16, and the English word is another. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Jesus consoled the disciples by assuring them he would send allos parakletos, another comforter, another helper. What does Jesus want us to beware of with the word allos, another? It's interesting that the English language, we only have one word for another. If a child's pet dog runs away, the parents might say, I'm getting you another pet. By another, it could mean of the same kind. Your dog left, so I will get you another dog of the same kind. Similar. However, the English another can also mean something very different. If you tell your child, I'm getting you another pet, it could mean the child will get a horse or a hermit crab. Another in English can mean similar, or it can mean very different. However, in the Greek, they had two Greek words for another. Allos means another of the same kind. The Greek heteros means another thing of a completely different nature. Allos in verse 16 is used here, not heteros. Jesus is saying with allos that though Jesus is leaving, another would take his place who is the same. Do you get what Jesus was saying? Though I am leaving, you will have the same with you. You will still be comforted and given counsel and have a helper and have an advocate. I am leaving, but nothing is changing. There will be an exchange of like with like. What a comfort that should have been to the disciples. Allos, another person like me to stand by your side. Christians, are we aware of the allos parakletos in our lives? Spring Grove is so far away from Galilee where Jesus walked. 2,000 years have passed. But by the new birth, you have received another helper who's just like Jesus. Every day he walks with you. Every day he talks to you. Every day he counsels you. Every day he stands beside you to convince you or help you convince others. What we experience in our lives should be the same as what the disciples experienced with Jesus by their side. Every day the disciples heard Jesus' voice. Do you hear it? Every day the disciples had Jesus influence their thoughts. Do you hear it? We don't need to be envious of the disciples' relationship with Jesus, because he has provided an allos parakletos to be our partner. Christian, are you excited about that another helper that like Jesus is in us? Christians, have we forgotten him? Christians, do we commune with him 24/7? Tony Miranda, a commentator, he asked some very thought-provoking questions, and I thought I would share them with you. I'm going to quote him. Have you ever wished Jesus was sitting next to you and you could have a face-to-face conversation with him? Have you ever found yourself longing to tell him all about your day and ask him to help you make sense of it all? We have that ability and opportunity because of the Spirit. Just as Jesus could comfort and strengthen his disciples, we can be comforted and strengthened through his Spirit who dwells within us. Have you really embraced this promise? He continues, you may be able to theologically discuss why the coming of the Holy Spirit is a good thing, but can you honestly say his role in your life is similar to the presence of Jesus in the lives of the disciples? We have downplayed this promise from Jesus in our lives and our churches. Unquote. Through the Holy Spirit, it is as if you have Jesus with you at work and at home. The next two Greek words we want to look at are meno and mone. Meno is spelled just, it's easy, M-E-N-O. And it's found in the English word in verse 16 as abide. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. This same word is translated in the KJV, remain 16 times and dwell 15 times. Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit and he will abide with you, dwell with you, remain with you forever. Verse 16, meno, abide, it's a verb. It's talking about the action of the Holy Spirit, what he's doing. He is abiding in you. He will dwell in you. He will remain with you. He is active in you. The other Greek word is found in verse 23. It's mone, and that's spelled M-O-N-E. Verse 23 uses the English word for mone. It uses the word abode. I'm going to read verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Our abode, our residence, our house. Now, verse 23, mone, is a noun. And this same word is used, again, only in verse 2. It's kind of an unusual Greek word in the sense that it's only used two times in all Scripture, but both times it's found in the same chapter. So let's look at verse 2 and try to figure out what mone is here. Verse 2, I'm going to read that. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So in verse 2, what would you guess the word mone is? It's the word mansions. It's a noun. So in verse 2, Jesus says he was preparing a mansion, a room, a home for you to stay in someday. But in verse 23, he talks about his mansion, his home, his house is inside you, the believer. This isn't saying the Holy Spirit would simply influence us or he would work from the outside to try to control us. This is talking about a friendly home invasion. At conversion, God, the Holy Spirit, in person, moves inside your body to guide and influence you from the inside out. As I was studying this, I was thinking about our culture's fascination with the supernatural. Did you notice that in culture? How people are fascinated with the supernatural. I know many flock to places to Gettysburg where supposedly the ghosts of dead soldiers can be seen or felt making their abode in certain houses or hospitals or places. And it's big business. People are just fascinated with that. And I know at work, I don't know about you, brethren, but my coworkers, sometimes they talk about ghosts or vampires or the walking dead, zombies. The focus is there's a fascination with the supernatural. Psychology Today had an article entitled America's a Love Affair with the Supernatural, and they said ghosts, psychics, and all other expressions of the supernatural are everywhere you look these days, in case you've been in a cave recently. The supernatural phenomena that cannot be explained by natural laws or understood in terms of scientific knowledge has deeply affected the path of everyday life in America, revealing key insights about who we are as people. So like, they're just noticing what we notice. Our culture is fascinated with the the supernatural. And I'm wondering if our culture is more fascinated with the supernatural than we as Christians are. Because many times we are unaware of the supernatural in our life, the allos parakletos, that he is living in our lives. Are we fascinated by that? Are we aware that he resides in our body? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be in their God, and they shall be my people. The allos parakletos dwells in our body. It's his mane, his room, until he is finished with our room he's preparing, and we dwell with him forever. Let's read verse 23 together. Hopefully all you have your Bibles open to verse 23. Together. Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. First time I looked at this more in depth, something didn't add up here. Because didn't Jesus say he was going to send the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, to dwell with us? But yet here he says, we will make our abode with you. And now this is referring to God the Father and God the Son making our bodies their home. And in fact, in verse 18, Jesus said, I will come to you. I will come to you. Verse 20, in that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. So this verse is saying God the Father and God the Son will also make our bodies their abode. So what's this all about? Well, notice verse 16. Jesus said he was going to ask the Father to send a Spirit. And in John 15, verse 26, Jesus said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify me. So we see that the Holy Spirit is sent by Jesus, and John 15 said he proceeds from the Father. So since Christ sent us the Holy Spirit, we can say it is as if he lives within us. Also, some commentators pointed out that the ministry Jesus did, he did in the power of the Holy Spirit. When he walked on earth, he did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. He did not accomplish it alone. It was through the Holy Spirit. And since the same Holy Spirit is in us, we can say that Christ is in us working. And Galatians 4, verse 6 says that. And because ye are Son, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, saying, Abba, Father. But it's more to it than that. These words are too plain. The reality is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit will manifest their presence within us. It says, we will make our abode with you. We are filled with the fullness of the presence of God. And it's a wonderful mystery beyond understanding, isn't it? Ephesians 2, verse 22. It says, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Through the Spirit, we have God the Father and God the Son also dwelling in us. John Phillips put it this way. He shared some thoughts that made me think. And I want to share John Phillips' thoughts with you, see if it makes you think. He said, think for a moment what that means. Living alongside us, living with us, living where we live, are the two most powerful, loving, wise, and wonderful persons in the universe. They control all the factors of matter, time, and space. They are the objects of ceaseless angelic adoration, tribute, service, and song. Yet they have chosen to make their abode with us. Jesus said, "We will come unto him and make our abode with him." There is no room for doubt. This is the determined decision of the Father and the Son, part of a plan worked out before time began. As such, a decision within the Godhead as a decision to create an angelic hierarchy or to create 100 million galaxies or to stoop down and fashion Adam's clay. We will come. And when the Father and Son say, "We will," they say what they mean and they mean what they say. No power in heaven, earth, or hell can prevent them from doing what they have determined to do. Unquote. Remember how in the Old Testament, God's presence dwelt above the mercy seat, between the two cherubims with outstretched wings. Now, he dwells in us. Isn't it awesome? Christian, are you aware of your guests? Are you aware your body is the home, the abode of the supernatural? We have been focusing on being aware of God's presence in our lives. And maybe you wanted some like practical advice to increase our awareness. And maybe you say, "Ray, I want to feel the Spirit more." You want God to work in you and through you more. And you wonder, how can I get this to happen? I want to use this simple illustration. A husband and wife dwell in the same abode. Pretend the wife talks to her husband as he eats breakfast, but he doesn't notice her. When he comes home, he's checking sports on his phone, oblivious to her efforts to talk to him. In the evening, she tries to get him to help talk about the children, but he doesn't even notice she is there. How will this affect their relationship? Soon, the wife will talk less. She will try less. Her spirit will be quenched. You could say her spirit will be grieved. And soon they will be living together with not much interacting. But suppose the husband started talking intently when she walked in. Suppose the husband's face lit up when she walked in. Suppose he called for her to come to him. How would this affect the relationship of the two who dwell together? You see, if you want the Holy Spirit to be active in our lives, we need to acknowledge he is there. We need to be aware of his presence. We need to listen to his voice. I thought of the fact that the 12 didn't get the Holy Spirit at Pentecost by anything they did. Jesus didn't tell them to go and work hard to earn the Holy Spirit in their life. Jesus told them simply, go, wait, expect the promise of the Holy Spirit. They were aware of it and waiting his presence. Why don't we acknowledge his presence more? Tomorrow, is it more accurate to say, "I am going to work," or to say, "We are going to work"? Is it more accurate to say, "I will be doing the dishes," or "We will be doing the dishes"? If you know God is in you, why don't you expect to hear his voice? Why are we not listening? Why are we so preoccupied with other noises that we don't hear his voice? I read one time, years ago, that God designed our bodies to block out unwanted noises. And this especially, well, it's any time, but it especially applies at night. We're made this way by design. So at night, there can be loud cars drive by your house. Trucks can drive by your house. You don't hear them. It doesn't wake you up. The mantle clock chimes on the hour. It doesn't wake you up. The refrigerator kicks on. It doesn't wake up. You don't even hear them. But if your baby child whimpers a little, if your teenager tries to sneak some food from the refrigerator, you wake up. Because our body knows that it's a noise we want to be aware of. I want to ask us, is it possible we have tuned out the Spirit? Is it possible we have forgotten that He's there? He tries to talk to us. He tries to commune with us. But we have blocked it out. Christian, if you are aware He is there, you will hear His voice and feel His presence like never before. It all starts with an awareness. Like Jesus told the disciples to go and expect it. Have we stopped expecting the Holy Spirit in our life? You know, when a person becomes demon-possessed, the person loses control. The demon takes over their thoughts, their voices, their actions. But when a person becomes Spirit-possessed, Holy Spirit-possessed, it's different. The Holy Spirit does not violate our free will. He is there as our helper, not as a dictator. He will only help us as much as we allow Him. Remember how the people of Nazareth, they did not see many of the works of Christ because they had unbelief. Well, the Spirit will only work in you as much as you are willing to allow Him. Let Him work, and it will be rivers of living water flowing from you. I want to ask you this question. Suppose you receive word tomorrow, you receive word today that tomorrow someone will be moving in your house permanently. How would you feel about that? You receive word today that tomorrow someone will be moving into your address, to your house permanently. Would you feel uncomfortable? Uneasy? Why? Because your guests might see that pile of dirty dishes. You know the garage hasn't been swept for way too long. You know the top of the fridge is probably pretty dusty. And you know you didn't get that dripping faucet fixed yet. And you don't want your guests to see these things. Brothers and sisters, think of it this way. Your pornography, your country music, your home videos, the angry words you say to your wife and to your children, your slander of others, your cheating, your selfishness. Did you forget you have three guests staying at your house? What do we need to clean up? What do I need to clean up in my house? What do you need to clean up in your house? Let's make Him feel welcome. Parakletos. The Holy Spirit is our advocate, our helper, and counselor. He stands beside us. Allos parakletos. Another, the same as I, just as Jesus was with the disciples. Even so, His presence is now with you. Meno and mane. He dwells in us. It's an active word. But it's also a noun. It's His home, His mansion, His residence. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have made their abode in us. Christian, are you aware of the supernatural presence in your life? May God bless each of us with an increased awareness.
As the Spirit examines each one of us this morning, if we're not experiencing the Spirit's leading, the sweet fellowship from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it's because, as Brother Ray said, something else is taking its place. Something else is taking the Holy Spirit's place in our hearts and in our lives, and it's sin. If we continue to live in disobedience, if we continue to live putting ourselves on the throne, we'll never experience that sweetness. We'll never experience the communion with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, if any man would have fellowship with me, if any one of you would like to experience that sweet relationship with me, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross, and let him follow me. As we kneel for prayer, I'll give you time to examine your hearts. I'll give you time to look inwardly and allow the Holy Spirit to prompt you of anything that may be in your heart that's displacing the Holy Spirit's control of your life. Let's kneel for prayer.